Paradigms in Educational Research, Weaving the Tapestry, by Antonina Lukinchuk and Eileen Kolich. Paradigmatic Diversity and Educational Research. This chapter lends itself to the nexus of the issues concerning the notion of paradigm, the underpinning and, at times, misconceived assumptions of the nature and various types of educational research, and the value of philosophical inquiry into the underlying principles and constructs of research in human sciences. Our purpose is to establish a chain of interrelated links between epistemological and methodological questions that can lead to a more integrated and broader view of educational research. One of the points of departure regarding educational research that we took in Chapter 1 was to position it, first and foremost, within the tradition of human science research. This tradition has a long history in the West, which is significant to recall because the great deal of ambiguity surrounding more recent use of the word science and its place within the classification of arts and sciences. The word science is derived from scientia, Latin for knowledge, and can be defined as 1. An intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the natural and physical world through observation and experiment. 2. A particular area of this. 3. A systematically organized body of knowledge of a particular subject, and 4. A knowledge of any kind. End quote. This extended definition of science can be applied to education, whose disciplinary boundaries include an intellectual and practical activity aimed at a systematic study of human phenomena. The science of education seeks knowledge and understanding of multitudes of complex issues pervading the realm of human affairs, cultural, social, political, moral, religious, and so forth. In the West, until about the Industrial Revolution, the above concerns comprised the domain of philosophy, the task of which was to provide a systematic and all-encompassing account of the nature of the universe and human being in physical and metaphysical terms. Educational issues were integrated within the hierarchy of arts and sciences, all of which served overall philosophical goals. Most ancient and modern philosophers did not differentiate their activities as philosophical, scientific, or educational. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Confucius, Rumi, to name a few, were all great teachers in their own right. Milesian philosophers, 6 BC Ionia, which is present-day Turkey, who became known as the first scientists, taught that life and non-life, and matter and spirit, were all one. The scientific discoveries and technological advancements following the Industrial Revolution provided an impetus for a separation between and compartmentalization of arts and sciences, as well as for a shifting role of philosophy from its royal to a supplementary status serving the purposes of individual disciplines. The 18th century philosopher David Hume attempted the inception of a science of human nature based on observable and measurable moral behavior, which eventually gave rise to behavioral sciences. The 19th century German historian Droysen marked the distinction between Erklären, explanation, as in natural sciences, and Verstehen, understanding, as in human sciences, a distinction that presaged methodological debates in educational research. Further, in 19th century Germany, Dilthey coined the term Geisteswissenschaft, which cannot be exactly translated into English. It is composed of Verstehen, German for understanding, and Wissenschaft, German for science, learning, or knowledge. The science of understanding, also known as hermeneutics, has thus become a counterpoint to a natural science, the traditional purpose of which was explanation. See chapters 1 and 2. At the turn of the 19th century, in the West, social sciences emerged as an attempt to study individuals and their behavior within societal groups, at the micro and macro levels. For example, sociology, anthropology, economics, and political science. Durkheim, Weber, and Marx were the architects of grand social science projects that still continue to provoke the social and political imaginations of contemporary thinkers. Auguste Comte attempted an ambitious positive social science that did not withstand the test of time. By the second half of the 20th century, all positivist undertakings in natural and social sciences had failed. The time became ripe for a new vision of science and the methods of scientific inquiry. Methodological debates surrounding natural and human sciences entailed the revisionist conceptions of knowledge and scientific method from positivistic to post-positivistic. See chapters 1 and 2. Einstein's relativity theory and quantum mechanics presented major challenges to the positivistic view of science. By the mid-20th century, the rejection of positivism by the philosophers of science and their ensuing consensus that science could no longer produce certain knowledge signaled radical changes in the understanding of methods applied to the study of human phenomena. Knowledge was conceived as fallible and subject to questioning, rejection, or acceptance as the best explanation available, temporary warrant, by a community of inquirers in a particular field of study. Accordingly, The new conception of science assumed a critical stance toward scientific progress as an accumulation of and or addition to the existing body of knowledge. Instead, the acquisition of knowledge represented the process of evolutionary change of paradigms, competing for the best explanation of phenomena, accompanied by the process of occasional revolutionary epistemological breaks, paradigm shifts, that could invalidate the previously accepted warrants of knowledge. The tools of traditional scientific method were no longer sufficient to apply to an expanded notion of reason that included, quote, systems logic, hermeneutic logic, pragmatic logic, the understanding and explanation of field theory, organic systems, linguistic statements, and consciousness, end quote. Since natural sciences were no longer restricted to the production of indubitable knowledge and therefore open to methodological alternatives, human sciences in turn became more receptive to the methods that could provide the most appropriate access to the study of human beings who present the most complex kinds of problems. Feyerabend's proverbial Anything Goes, Chapter 2, propels the idea that it is no longer possible to rely on fixed methods of investigation in any type of research. Methods are, quote, no longer considered correct or right in themselves, end quote. Instead, they should be, quote, appropriate in relationship to the kind of question being addressed, end quote. The above statements underscore our position on knowledge and methods in educational research that can be generally expressed as an epistemological and methodological pluralism. Epistemological pluralism necessarily entails the recognition of diverse beliefs and practices found in today's world cultures and societal groups. And these beliefs and practices should be recognized and legitimized on equal grounds with those that have been, historically, given exclusive privilege, authority, and power, namely with the Western epistemologies. See Chapter 2. In the previous chapters, we employed a number of metaphors to convey our messages with regard to educational inquiry, knowledge, and the research process. Chapter 1 opens with a spirited discussion of philosophy as a form of inquiry, a pursuit of wisdom or knowledge which is intrinsic to a human being. Educational inquiry is a pursuit of knowledge writ large driven by the primordial eros, an unsettling desire that accompanies the level-headed logos. Passionate search for wisdom can be translated into a tapestry of the world's cultural beliefs imbued within their original definitions, jnana in Hinduism, the Tao in Chinese philosophy, Ishraq in Persian tradition, Sophia in Gnosticism, and others, see chapters 1 and 2. Passion is the gateway to things imagined that have inspired the most daring projects in the history of humankind, and philosophers and scientists alike can testify to the passion's triumph over the level-headedness of reason in their pursuit of knowledge. Nietzsche and Poincaré may have little in common except their shared conviction that life is not worth living if it is not the pursuit of creating art or discovering nature's wonders. Alas, there is so much we do not know. There are perhaps as many holes in the spider web of our knowledge of the universe as there are stars in it radiating, luring light from above. Like philosophers and scientists, educational researchers venture on passionate journeys to discover what the 21st century holds. So, what are the ways of knowing available for educational researchers to pursue their projects in this day and age? The analysis of numerous philosophical and educational sources pertaining to epistemology and philosophy of science, see chapters 1 and 2, allowed us to identify 6 paradigms of educational inquiry, encompassing a great variety of beliefs, theories, assumptions, and practices. The number of identified paradigms is contingent on epistemological boundaries and is open to alternatives. The constitutive elements of each paradigm were delineated by taking into consideration existing scholarship on epistemology, philosophy of science, philosophical foundations of research, the accompanying vocabulary, and our own understanding of the conception of paradigm. The 6 paradigms identified for the purpose of this book are empirical analytic, pragmatic, interpretive, critical, post-structuralist, and transcendental. Table 3.1 depicts a typology of these 6 paradigms and their corresponding conceptual repertoire, epistemologies, methodologies, and selected methods. To fill in each cell of the table, we selected the terminology that is most frequently and widely used in philosophical and educational sources and captures the most important constitutive elements in each delineated paradigm. It is important to mention that each of the 6 paradigms are not completely autonomous entities. Instead, most of them exhibit conceptual relationships that can be either strong or weak, and broken lines, weak links. The description of the paradigms pertaining to Table 3.1 will be accompanied by comments on the paradigmatic relationships in reference to Figure 3.1. There are numerous definitions of paradigm, and contemporary educational researchers and scholars disagree on the use of the term. For instance, Yu prefers tradition to paradigm based on his association of the term with Kuhn's definition of paradigm. See Introduction in Chapters 1 and 2. Yu claims that Kuhn's definition inevitably leads to an income inseparability thesis. However, if we look closer at Kuhn's argument about competing paradigms of science in the history of Western philosophy of science, it becomes clear that the incommensurability thesis does not apply to competing paradigms across different sciences. It is only within a particular field of study, such as physics, where the thesis of incommensurability can be applied. Some theories become obsolete in time, others remain credible within limited parameters, yet other theories can become completely overturned. Our understanding of paradigm includes, but is not limited to, Kuhn's definition. Many educational researchers use a variety of terms in reference to paradigm: theory, theoretical framework, conceptual framework, model, lenses, a set of ideas, guiding principles, or perspectives. We consider all of these definitions under the umbrella term conceptual repertoire. Conceptual repertoire is a figurative expression that means an endless list of conceptual ingredients, comprising a particular paradigm of research and resembling a list of musical pieces whose endless and different configurations can generate multiple productions. Tapestry of Beliefs, Chapter 1, is another metaphor to convey the same idea. The conceptual repertoire cell consists of ideas, concepts, theories, philosophies, ideologies, traditions, perspectives, and practices. See Table 3.1. Paradigm, from the Greek para, the side, and digma, example, is an, quote, example, a model, a worldview, a theory, or a methodology, end quote. Other dictionary definitions of paradigm include, quote, example, archetype, beau ideal, chart, criterion, ensample, exemplar, ideal, mirror, model, original, pattern, prototype, sample, standard, end quote. The introduction provides a definition of paradigm derived from several dictionaries, resulting in a paradigm pyramid construct. See Figure 1, Introduction. For the purpose of this book, we employ a threefold definition of paradigm. 1. A system of inquiry. 2. A model. And 3. A way of knowing. Polkinghorne identifies three major paradigmatic possibilities for human science research: deductive hypothetical, pragmatic, and existential phenomenological and hermeneutic systems of inquiry. Our use of paradigm as a system of inquiry refers to such overarching historical and philosophical traditions, macro constructs. Based on this definition, 5 of the 6 paradigms were identified: empirical analytic, pragmatic, interpretive, critical, and transcendental. See Table 3.1. Inquiry is a broad term that can designate any research project as an act of asking for information, posing a question, and conducting an official investigation. We consider this broad meaning of inquiry as integral to our understanding of a paradigm as a system of inquiry, which can be subsequently extended to an act of posing research questions within, quote, a set of beliefs connected as parts forming a complex whole and following an organized scheme or method, end quote. Our second use of paradigm as a model is based on the assumption of it as a microconstruct, such as, for instance, a specific theory that can underpin an individual research project, or a theoretical model that can emerge as a result of conducting an individual research project, such as grounded theory. The chapters in Part 2 of this book demonstrate various micro-level paradigms positioned within the macro-level overarching systems of inquiry. See Table 3.2. Finally, we conceive of paradigm as a discursive way of knowing that doesn't necessarily fit in within a well-delineated model or system of inquiry. Post-structuralist falls within this definition of paradigm. The following detailed description of the 6 paradigms provides insights into the ways we conceptualize each of them individually and in relation to each other. The first row in Table 3.1 shows the interconnections between a paradigm and its constitutive ingredients. The arrow that extends from the cell paradigms onward points to the conception of paradigm as encompassing conceptual repertoire, epistemologies, methodologies, and methods. The arrows that spread from the methodology cell to the right and to the left point to epistemologies, conceptual repertoire, and methods as constitutive elements of methodology. Thus, the first row in Table 3.1 provides an organizational framework for the description of each paradigm. Empirical analytic paradigm acquires its label from the long-standing traditions of Western rationalism and empiricism, as well as the relevant educational research positions of materialism and behaviorism. Positivism exerted its influence on this paradigm for a relatively short time and was repudiated in the second half of the 20th century. It is no longer acceptable to equate this paradigm with positivistic research. However, some educational researchers continue to do so. Habermas distinguishes empirical analytic sciences, whose purposes are prediction and control. Polkinghorne refers to this paradigm as empirical, deductive, or deductive hypothetical. Creswell singles out a similar paradigm he identifies as post-positivistic. Scientific also stands for empirical analytic research paradigm, and its use is appropriate as long as a post-positivistic conception of science is implied. The term that is most frequently used to designate this paradigm is quantitative. Empirical analytic research and education yields probabilistic, formal, theoretical, explanatory, and warranted truths or knowledge claims obtained as a result of experiment, analysis of variables, or causal comparative studies within the theoretical boundaries delineated by each individual project. Although the purpose of empirical studies is to produce foundational knowledge, it can be at best weak foundationalism, see chapters 1 and 2. Until about the 1970s, empirical analytic research held an epistemological and methodological privilege over other systems of inquiry in human and social sciences, and it remains highly influential among contemporary educational researchers. Part 2 features several quantitative research projects described further in this chapter. Empirical analytic paradigm exhibits several links with other paradigms, see Figure 3.1. In epistemological terms, it is closely linked to pragmatic paradigm, hence a solid line depicting a strong link. Although rare, empirical studies can also be critical in terms of their research purposes. A broken line shows a weak relation between empirical analytic and critical paradigms. See Figure 3.1. Pragmatic paradigm is important to distinguish because of its unique position on knowledge claims. Polkinghorne defines via Pierce, see chapters 1 and 2, as trial and error truths that withstand the test of experiment, time, and utility. Pragmatic truth is not a justified belief in a strict epistemological sense, but rather the effectiveness of knowledge demonstrated by the effectiveness of action. Pragmatic truths are warranted assertions that have to be agreed upon and accepted, or rejected, by a community of inquirers. Creswell singles out pragmatic paradigm as problem-centered and action-oriented, and as such it is highly appealing to practitioner and action researchers. Conceptually, pragmatism has the strongest connection with empirical analytic paradigm and tentative connections with interpretive and critical paradigms. See Figure 3.1. Precisely because of these links, pragmatism is often positioned as an in-between and reconciliatory paradigm between supposedly pure empirical analytic and interpretive paradigms. Pragmatism is an overarching paradigm undergirding a variety of qualitative, quantitative, and mixed methods research projects. Interpretive paradigm has roots in several traditional arts and sciences: anthropology, psychology, sociology, political science, linguistics, and philosophy. Polkinghorne provides a sophisticated analysis of the origins of this paradigm in the existential, phenomenological, and hermeneutic systems of inquiry, see chapters 1 and 2. Germinating from several 19th-century European movements, existential phenomenology and hermeneutics represented the strongest anti-positivist response that triggered radical changes in the conception of science, knowledge, scientific method, and appropriate methodologies for the study of human phenomena. Phenomenological, or descriptive, and hermeneutic, or interpretive, are the historical terms associated with this paradigm. Other terms for it found in research textbooks are interpretivist, qualitative, or naturalistic, which are often used interchangeably. Habermas distinguishes historical hermeneutic sciences that aim at knowledge as understanding. Understanding, capital U, underscores the nature and type of knowledge uniquely attributed to this paradigm. Lather identifies this paradigm as understanding. Similarly, Creswell emphasizes understanding as part of a constructivist paradigm, which is synonymous with interpretive. Symbolic interactionalism and ethnomethodology sprang from the interpretive tradition. Interpretive paradigm is most strongly linked to critical and tentatively to pragmatic, post-structuralist, and transcendental, see Figure 3.1. Contemporary interpretive research represents a flourishing field of qualitative studies with many diverse and innovative designs, see Table 3.1. Table 3.2 and its description feature several interpretive research projects presented in Part 2 of this book. Critical paradigm is singled out based on its strong conceptual repertoire grounded in the political perspectives on knowledge and research, and especially in neo-Marxist or critical theory perspectives. It is by the association with these perspectives that we denote this paradigm as critical. Critical epistemology takes hermeneutics to the next level. One of the leading contemporary critical theorists, Habermas, proposes critical social science grounded in knowledge as emancipation. Following his lead, Lather employs the term emancipatory, and Creswell uses advocacy, or participatory, to identify this paradigm. Lather reminds educational researchers that the key issue is, quote, how to bring scholarship and advocacy together in order to generate ways of knowing that interrupt power imbalances, end quote. Critical Paradigm is linked conceptually with all others in terms of its research purposes, and its strongest connection is with the interpretive system of inquiry. Critical inquiry is exceedingly popular among educational researchers, and it inspires an array of research and scholarly projects in feminism, critical race and ethnicity, queer and disability studies. Table 3.2 and its description in the next section feature several critical inquiry chapters. The four paradigms that have been described thus far share several important features. First, they encompass major methodologies employed in current educational research, with various terms ascribed to them. In epistemological terms, all four paradigms designate knowledge claims as provisional, contextual, and contingent. This means that the knowledge or truth that is produced as a result of the research projects conducted within these paradigms is, quote, constructed within particular conceptual systems and is relative to time and place, end quote. Given the characteristics of the knowledge claims of these four paradigms, poststructuralist and transcendental paradigms represent their counterparts, each in their own terms. Between themselves, transcendental and poststructuralist paradigms are epistemological opposites, and there is absolutely no connection between them. See Figure 3.1. Poststructuralist can best be described as a discursive way of knowing due to its complete rejection of foundational knowledge. Poststructuralism is an essentially anti-foundationalist project seeking to deconstruct episteme as the only true and privileged knowledge. There is no knowledge as such, according to poststructuralist thinkers. All that we have is text and its endless interpretations, the copy of the copy of the copy, simulacra, or hyperreality. See chapters 1 and 2. The poststructuralist way of knowing is conceptually at odds with many structured models of inquiry, yet its representatives ally with emancipatory research agendas proposed by critical researchers. Poststructuralist research does not stand on its own ground, which it resists and rejects, and is typically conducted within interpretive and critical inquiries. Poststructuralist feminist research is especially appealing to educators. Poststructuralist thinkers generate innovative ways of conducting research by experimenting with expressive means and genres such as art, literature, cinematography, or digital imaging. Although elusive in terms of its own definition and suspicious of structured approaches to research, poststructuralism is important to singling out creative ways of generating research projects that stir our social imaginations. Finally, we distinguish transcendental paradigm as truly unique among the constellation of contemporary educational research paradigms. It represents a metaphysical alternative to all other paradigms, which are grounded in a materialistic conception of reality, in that it posits the existence of the ultimate reality and truth, capital letter T, and asserts the importance of reason and intuition, or revelation, as the ultimate ways of knowing. What follows from this position is that reality and a human being have at least two dimensions, physical and metaphysical, a body and mind, as in most ancient and classical philosophical traditions. Some similar non-Western traditions identify a threefold conception of the universe and a human being, body, mind, or soul, and spirit. See chapters 1 and 2. Transcendental paradigm deals with the issues of spirituality. Transcendental is a conditional term that we use to designate an array of traditions ranging from Western mysticism to Aboriginal and Indigenous beliefs. Transcendental means relating to a spiritual or non-physical realm. The word also evokes transcendentalism, an idealistic philosophical movement begun in New England in the 1830s. Its major representatives, Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau, believed in the divine order of nature and humanity and held progressive views on abolitionism, feminism, and communal living. Transcendental can be interpreted in both religious and secular terms. In either case, it implies the existence of an internal moral compass according to which a human being establishes her or his relations with others in the surrounding world. Immanuel Kant calls this compass a categorical imperative, or a sense of moral obligation. Metaphysical arguments are not easy to discard. Contemporary professional philosophers continue to wrestle with the metaphysical conundrum and its sources, consciousness and freedom. Self-consciousness presents us with a peculiar idea of unity, which Kant described as a transcendental unity of apperception. The issues of spirituality are rarely explored by educational researchers, and when they are, the studies focused on these issues are typically conducted in conjunction with interpretive or critical, or both, types of research. For instance, Dantley contends that faith grounds contemporary educational leadership when it is inclusive and politically effective. He aligns faith with leadership, specifically with transformational leaders who wrestle with undemocratic practices such as tracking and ability grouping, inequitable funding, and high-stakes testing. According to Dantley, these leaders exercise faith as they, quote, envision schools grounded in democracy and social justice, but they labor to bring about what they have created by faith into existence, end quote. Tisdale's study seeks to determine, quote, how spirituality influences the motivations and practices of a multicultural group of women adult educators who are teaching for social change, end quote. Tisdale positions her research within the critical and post-structuralist feminist framework, and she discovers that spirituality is elusive as well as all-encompassing and is a force that gives meaning and coherence to life. And it is this compelling realization that adds an immense value to the participants' efforts to teach for social change. The examples of research projects presented in Part 2 do not intersect with either the transcendental or post-structuralist paradigms directly. However, tentative links with the transcendental paradigm, for instance, can be established in the content of Chapters 4 and 5, and the content of Chapter 14 has an implicit post-structuralist ring to it. The description and graphical representation of the six paradigms identified for the purposes of this book are yet another conceptual version, among others, of educational research. These paradigms do not exist all possibilities, yet we believe that they are sufficiently encompassing in terms of existing educational research alternatives. A different number of paradigms can be potentially identified. Ours is not a matter of concern with the number, but, more effectively, with the purpose of this paradigm journey to broaden the conception of educational inquiry and the spectrum of its methodological choices.